miracles are messy and complicated, and they don't always happen in the timeline or in the location that we expect them to. But somehow, as people of faith, we have been invited into interpreting them as miracles may be simple and easy and mysterious. So I am grateful this morning for your presence with that story and for Dale staying with it, because often we'll refer to the story of Lazarus, but we won't always spend the time with it. And today we did. So I invite you to also spend a bit more time with it this week, to read it again yourself and find yourself in the midst of it. And I wonder who you are in the story. Are you the impatient one? Are you the one who always says no? Are you the one watching and having no idea what's really going on? Are you spending your time worrying about how it looks or how it smells that you might miss the miracle? Therapists often ask people the miracle question. If you could snap your fingers and wake up tomorrow, what would be the miracle that you would ask for? What would it look like? What would be different? They ask that not because they are the granters of miracles, because what we yearn for and hope to happen gives us insight into what we need. We have these stories. We have our own personal experience of miracles. And today we meet Mary and Martha in the mess of it all at their miracle question after their brother Lazarus has died. And we know in loss how we yearn for explanation, how we yearn to understand and know. And our stories, in fact, our ancient scriptures, are us trying to explain our experiences of the mystery of God. So I wonder this morning what comes to mind when I say the word miracle. Surprise, mystery, unexplainable, myth, impossible, hope or hopeless, last chance, big, fancy, awe-inspiring, mind-blowing, grandiose. Did you see that? Wow. I wish we could have the sermon from last week repeated, because this topic seems hard. I wonder if healing comes to mind, or cure, or water into wine, or images of people rising up and choosing, of death to life and resurrection. Or is it ordinary, every day, easy to miss? Perhaps when we hear that word, it takes us in our own minds to miracles we've experienced or those we asked for and never got. It's a phrase that meets us in our culture. You'll often hear it sarcastically, and maybe you'll listen for it a little bit differently this week. My kid emptied the dishwasher without nagging. It's a miracle. I made it through Toronto traffic in exactly the time I thought it would take. It's a miracle. I'm curious where you would use that in your daily life, and how we can easily forget that it's a miracle is the punchline in countless scenes on TV shows and in movies when something unexpected happens or a plan or a lie is inadvertently revealed. My favorite example of this is an episode of The Golden Girls where Sophia sustains an injury that means she must spend time in her wheelchair while she recovers. and her daughter Dorothy hires a nurse to help take care of Sophia while she's at work, Dorothy starts to get suspicious that Sophia is enjoying the attention and the pampering she's receiving from the nurse a little too much and lying about the severity of her injuries. This is confirmed in a scene where we see Sophia, who's like 90 years old, alone in the living room, sitting in her wheelchair. She looks around and sees that no one is there. She stands up from the chair and, smiling away, she starts to dance around and sing. Dorothy walks in and catches her, to which Sophia exclaims, "It's a miracle! I can walk!" We associate miracles with faith and belief and doubt. We don't want to talk about them because some people have experienced them in strangest of ways. We also know they tap into why people believe and why they don't believe, because they received a miracle or they didn't. Now, if Tom and I weren't alone, this would be the time that Whitney Houston and Mariah Carey would join us in this sermon, because I did put a clip on our Facebook page of There Can Be Miracles, which is the song from the movie The Prince of Egypt, which is from the foundational biblical story for Jewish and Christian peoples, where the people are brought out of Egypt and cross the Red Sea into freedom. There can be miracles if we believe. Remember, there's a little caveat in that. So instead of just acknowledging that miracles are happening around us, they tie us to what we've done or not done. It's a little bit problematic, but you get swept up in these two voices and the people of God crossing through the desert to freedom. But I want to draw you to the lines of the song that aren't the chorus. Miracles don't always happen when you ask, and it's easy to give in to your fears. But when you're blinded by your pain, can't see the way, get through the rain, a small but still resilient voice says, "Help is very near." Help and hope cannot be disconnected from our experience of miracles. And the achievers in us love the chorus of that song because it goes on as it swells and crescendos to say, "Who knows what miracles you can achieve? Somehow you will when you believe." It's easy to write God out of the story and not make room for the mystery to hold us. So this morning we heard the longest miracle story. Ancient words passed on to us of how the followers of Jesus experienced firsthand miracles. Religious scholars tend to agree that Jesus performs 7 of these connected to helping people wake up and notice that something's going on here that connects him to being the divine Son of God. The first is easy. It's often read right about this time of year in churches around the world. It's the wedding at Cana where he turns water into wine. Then it's the healing of the official's son in Capernaum. He goes on to heal a paralytic man at Bethsaida on the Sabbath. He feeds the 5,000 with the 5 loaves and 2 fish. He walks on water. He gives a blind man his sight back. And then today he raises Lazarus from the dead. Oh, but later, there is the healing of the Syrophoenician woman, and not to be missed, although I did see Easter chocolate in the grocery store this week, perhaps the greatest of miracles that we are criticized or questioned about as Christians, Jesus rising from the tomb on the 3rd day after his death by crucifixion, where he goes on to appear to the disciples and others for 40 more days before ascending into heaven. These are miraculous events. They are stories that point us to the great mystery, and they are connected to the life and ministry of Jesus. And I'm curious, as we step into 2023, what this has anything to do with our daily lives, where miracles fit for us Because like the people of God who prayed for miracles, those who were there had gone to Jesus for something. They went for help and healing. And we too tend to seek out miracles in the most difficult circumstances of our lives. And this is where it gets tricky and complicated in our life of faith. When we pray for miraculous outcomes in difficult circumstances, and they're not answered in the way we pray, then we can begin to lose faith. We tie miracles to quantified belief, enough prayers, deserving. Or it splits us in relationship because some people who've walked a similar path receive more of an experience of extended life or healing and others don't. We compare what we pray for to others. So I really had to ask myself this week, how do I talk about miracles? How do I experience miracles in my own life? And then I was given a book. I do believe that it's a miracle that you can go online and reserve a book from the library and then just walk into the library and the book that you have wanted is not in the stacks and it's just there for you. This book is called Once Upon a Wardrobe. And it is written and set in 1950 when C.S. Lewis is teaching at Oxford and a little boy named George was born knowing that he did not have a long life to live. And George's family has spent their time praying for him to be healed and hoping that he would grow old, but knowing that his diagnosis would not lead to that. And that little boy picked up a book called The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And all that little boy wanted to know is where that story came from. George's big sister, Megs, well, she's a mathematician. She's studying at Oxford, and because of her love for her brother, she's forced to go to meet C.S. Lewis. She just starts walking by his house, hoping that he will notice her because she doesn't even read fictional storybooks because they're not true. They can't be proven. What a waste of time. But she promised her brother that she would try and get the answer to the question, where did the story come from? I'm not going to give the story away for you, but remember, C.S. Lewis had a very powerful experience of really believing that there was no God and coming to faith in through knowing Jesus. And people have watched his writing and read his writing and seen him change from one side of the fence to another very far fence. In fact, for those of us who have experienced a change of heart or mind, others around us may say that that has been a witness to a miracle in itself. But when I held this book in my hand, I asked myself the same question about this author, Patty Callahan. Where did this story come from? How did she know how to write a story that would take us deeper, take the reader deeper into knowing more about themselves and about God? And there really isn't an answer, is it? I mean, authors sometimes have really polished answers for where it comes from. But in the same way that we can't give concrete, proven, all of the ways that we would like to, mathematicians would like us to prove, out of the experience of our own life comes our experience of God and the divine. And George, he doesn't grow to be a man. His family doesn't experience a miracle in the way you might have thought at the beginning of this sermon. But all around them, the family experiences a connection to God that carries them through the loss. They experience in the midst of life and death, there is resurrection. And I believe that the life of Jesus can give us some help in answering the questions. The Gospels are full of stories about Jesus and his miraculous healing powers. And the real miracle is that the Gospel itself is true for everyone. That Jesus may not be right in front of us the way his followers experienced, offering help and healing and touch in the same way that we read about in the Gospels. But Jesus is calling to us even if we are the ones in the tomb, even if we are the ones in the tree like Zacchaeus, even if we are the ones in the wilderness with the devil on our back. The miracle stories are experiences of God for everyone. And how in the world does this go back to Lazarus? Well, Jesus invites Lazarus to a new life. Jesus does not go into the tomb and grab him and pull him out. Jesus stands outside the tomb and asks Lazarus to come out on his own. Lazarus has to choose between life or death. And death itself is a miracle. We have all been in places where people we have loved have crossed over. And there is a depth of faith and connection and presence of God that is there. Death. When we are invited out of the shadows, do we choose to be saved, resurrected? Do we choose life? Not out of fear of death, but because of the invitation from Jesus to live. Each of those miracle encounters is an invitation to life, not the life we exactly might have planned for, but life. And for most of us, life happens in the ordinary, the everyday, regular things that happen. They aren't the mountaintop experiences and the big parties and the things we plan for. It's the everyday, one step at a time, ordinary miracles. Wendell Berry, who's the grumpy American writer, farmer, environmentalist, theologian, he suggests that it's in the ordinary that we overlook the miracles. Whoever really has considered the lilies of the field, he writes, or the birds of the air, and pondered the improbability of their existence in this warm world within the cold and empty stellar distances, will hardly balk at turning water into wine, which was, after all, a very small miracle. We forget the greater and still continuing miracle by which water with soil and sunlight is turned into grapes. You will find in the sermon a soundtrack, be it Whitney Houston or Mariah Carey or closer to home in Canada with Sarah McLachlan. For the invitation in exploring miracles for yourselves and our community is to begin with the ordinary. One of the welcome team people said today, pretty good turnout, isn't it? I said, it's a miracle. Be so easy to stay home and watch, and yet together we're gathered in community. It's not that unusual, she writes. The sky knows when it's time to snow, don't need to teach a seed to grow. Isn't it remarkable? Like every time a raindrop falls, it's just another ordinary miracle today. Birds in winter have their fling, but always make it home by spring. Sun comes up and shines so bright and disappears again at night. And when you wake up every day, please don't throw your dreams away, because we're all part of that ordinary miracle. Ordinary everyday miracles happen all around us, each moment of every day. And that miracle of living, breathing, creating, growing, expanding, contracting, pollinating, dying, and birthing that take place every day on every inch of this earth. because everything around us is a miracle. Our existence, all creation, the resources that are provided for us and each other. And it's okay just to be ordinary. In fact, when we stop reaching for someone else's story and someone else's mountaintop, we may be able to look around and notice that everyday miracles are about taking care of one another. That the miracles are for each of us. Those of us this morning who are entombed by our past or past choices. Those who experience social distance for a variety of reasons. And that by feeding the hungry and clothing the naked and offering living waters to those who thirst, we experience the miracle together. Ordinary. Every day. That is what will get us through 2023. There are lots of stories about what this year will hold for each of us. The news and every January magazine that you buy in the grocery store will tell you what they predict is coming. But what you do know is that the people of God have gone before us, and they have pointed the way to knowing the mystery, and that you are the next chapter of living into that together. It's not that unusual. Thanks be to God. Amen.